Fourth Canto, Chapter 31, entitled Narada Instructs the Prachetas, Text 27. Yo Narada Atma Vidyam Adhigamya Punarmahi Bhuktva Vibhajya Putrebhya Aishwaram Samagat Padam Yo Naradat Atma Vidyam Adhigamya Punarmahim Bhuktva Vibhajya Putrebhya Aishwaram Samagat Padam. Although Maharaj Priyavrat received instruction from the great sage Narada, he is still engaged in ruling the earth. After fully enjoying material possessions, he divided his property amongst his sons. He then attained the position by which he could return home back to Godhead. There's no purport, so we go to the next one. Text 28.
Imam tu kausharavino pavarnitam kshatta nishamya jitavada sadkatham pravruddha bhavo shakulakulo mune dadharamudha charanam sadahare.
My dear king, in this way, after hearing the transcendental messages of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees from the great sage Maitreya, Vidura was overwhelmed with ecstasy. With tears in his eyes, he immediately fell down at the lotus feet of his guru, his spiritual master. He then fixed the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart. Purport. This is a sign of associating with great devotees. A devotee takes instructions from a liberated soul and is thus overwhelmed by ecstasy from transcendental pleasure. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Naisham matistavad urukramangrim sprishat anartha pagamo yadarthah mahiyasam pada rajobhishekam nishkinchananam nabrinita yavat. One cannot become a perfect devotee of the Lord without having touched the lotus feet of a great devotee. One who has nothing to do with this material world is called Nishkinchana. The process of self-realization and the path home back to Godhead means surrendering to the bona fide spiritual master and taking the dust of his lotus feet on one's head. Thus, one advances on the path of transcendental realization. Vidura had this relationship with Maitreya and he attained the results.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapit.
Imam to Kaushara Vidopa Varnitam Kshatta Nishamya Jitavad Asakatham Pravruddha Bhavo Ashukula Kulo Mune Dadhara Mudna Charanam Sadahare. My dear king, in this way, after hearing the transcendental messages of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees from the great sage Maitreya, Vidura was overwhelmed with ecstasy. With tears in his eyes, he immediately fell down at the lotus feet of his guru, his spiritual master. He then fixed the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart. So herein we are hearing what Prachetas heard from Narada. what Vidura heard from Maitreya, which is what is repeated by Shukadeva Maharaj to Parikshit Maharaj, and which is being further repeated by Suta Goswami to the Shaunakadi Rishis. So, this is Upavarnitam. This is the description of the wonderful activity of the Lord and His devotees in Parampara. So, when the message of the Bhagavat, Bhagavat means anything with connection with the Lord and His devotees, the loving relationships and their activities, name, form, qualities, pastimes, etc., is heard from pure devotees. And that is described here, who is actually a pure devotee. Mahiyasam padarajobhishekam nishkinchananam nabrinitayavat. As Prabhupada writes in one of the purports in the Gita, especially I think in the 4th chapter, 2nd verse, about repeating these words in parampara by a pure devotee who has no other motive other than the motive of the Lord. And the motive of the Lord in giving this knowledge is for the sole purpose of delivering this humanity and bringing them back home, back to Godhead. But when it is motivated by any tinge of any other desire other than the desire of the Lord for delivering this message or performing this pastime, then that is the potency of that message is lost. And that message cannot have the desired result. Therefore, humbly and with eagerness and sincerity, hearing from the great souls is what is actually the meaning of Mahiyasam Padarajobhishekam. Taking the dust of the lotus feet of such an exalted personality, of exalted personalities, is what actually means to humbly and eagerly and sincerely. Humbly because one considers himself a fool. I don't know anything and therefore I want to hear. And eagerness is because he understands the desperate situation he is in. And sincerity means to actually wanting to apply that message to the best of his ability in his own life. Therefore, we find Parikshit Maharaj immediately achieved the result. He had that humility, he had that eagerness, and he had that sincerity. Therefore, at the end of that thing, he says, whatever that bird be, let it come and bite me. I really don't care as long as this Harikatham eva gayamane, as long as it is going on, Vishnu Gatha. So, Prabhupada explains here, who is a Nishkinchana? Nishkinchana or Akinchana is same. Kinchana means something. Kinchit. Kinchit means something. And Akinchana or Nishkinchana means absolutely nothing. A person who feels that he has absolutely no material thing, such a person is called a Nishkinchana. And such a personality can always see the Lord face to face, 24 hours a day. Tvam Akinchana Gochara. But as long as Janmaishwarya Suta Srivir Edhamana Madah Puman Na Eva Arhati Abhidhatum Vai, those who have even a little Even this illusion that they have something to hold on to in this world, to take shelter, such a person cannot fully take shelter of the Supreme Lord, helplessly call out the name of the Lord. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, who can call out 24 hours? Trinadapi Sunichena Taruri Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. In the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, what is the Veda is explained in just one verse. Yastam Veda Saveda Vith. He says, who is the knower of the Veda? One who knows this perverted reflection of this banyan tree is the knower of the Veda. In the first five verses, how to actually detach from this material world and get attached to Padam, as it is described, that what Maharaj Priyavrat achieved. Maharaj Priyavrat, whose description is going to begin now that Uttanapad and his son's narration is over, he also possessed practically the whole planet, ruled it. But it says here that after Maharaj Priyavrat received instruction from the great sage Narada, he still engaged in ruling the earth. After fully enjoying material possessions, he divided his property amongst his sons. He then attained a position by which he could return home back to Godhead. So though he actually owned, possessed and ruled, controlled, enjoyed the whole planet Earth for a long, long time, still at the end he went back home. This is the meaning that such a person is Nishkinchana. So, in the Gita, 15th chapter, Yastam Veda Savedavit, it says, this one who knows this material, the illusory tree, banyan tree, of this material world, he says, knows the Vedas, knows the purport of the Vedas. Later part of this verse, it says, Krishna explains, adhaschordham prasritastasya sakha guna pravrdha vishaya prabala adhasya mulani anusantatani karmanu bandhini manushya loke. As long as one identifies with this reflection, karmanu anubandhini manushya loke. So from topmost line, yasvindra gopa matavendra maho swakarma bandhana rupa phalam bhajanoti. Everyone who is identifying as having possessing something in this world is caught up in this unlimited and entanglements of the illusory reflection of this material world. Then, later it says, narupamasyeha tatha upalabhyate na anta na cha adir na cha sampratishtha ashvatthamenam suvirudhamulam asanga shastrena dridhena chitvam. Narupam asya iha tatha upalabhyate. The origin of this tree, and what is Prabhupada explains very beautifully, that this reflecting surface is the result, is the cause of a reflection. Were there no water, there wouldn't have been a reflection. And so what is this reflection, reflecting surface? That is the desire. That is the desire separate from that of the Lord. That is the result of this whole illusory tree. If that water is not there, then there is no necessity to create this illusory reflection at all. Had there been no desire separate from the Lord, to simply serve the Lord, there is no need for the Lord to create this illusory world. So, narupam asya iha tatho upalabhyate. The origin of the real tree can't be perceived in this world. Because na anta na cha adir na cha sampratishtha. This tree itself, those who are entangled in this tree, are so much caught up that they don't see the end or the beginning or the foundation of this tree. The ashvatthamenam suvirudhamulam. And it is so deeply rooted within the heart And therefore it is so difficult. But he says there's only one way. There's only one way to remove this illusion. Cut off this illusory tree. Asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. Only by detachment. Then by detachment, by the weapon of detachment when it is cut, what happens? Tatah padam tat parimargitavyam. Thereafter, one should search out the path of padam. This padam, as it is said, what Priyavrat Maharaj achieved, it says, Aishwaram samagat padam. It says, he attained a position by which he could return home back to Godhead. Tatah padam tat parimargitavyam. One should look for that position from which there is no need for falling again into this illusory reflection. So tatah padam tat parimargitavyam yasmin gata na nivartanti bhuyah. There is no need of kamala dalajala jivana talamala, taking shelter of something which itself is tottering. Any foundation in this reflection is a tottering thing. Yasmin gata ananivartanti bhuyah tameva cha adyam purusham prapadye. So the only way is after searching out the adyam purusham, the source from which everything comes, yata pravrittir prasita purani, from whom everything emanates, aham sarvasya prabhavo. After finding out that source, simply prapadye, just surrender. Now, that surrender is explained in the next verse. It says very simple, the process of surrendering is very simple. It begins with, it's like a point by point systematic formula given by Krishna so beautifully. It says, Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha adhyatmanitya vinivritta kama dvandvair vimuktaha sukhadukha sangeir gacchanti amurhaha padamavyayam tat. The first principle is nirmana. Mana means respect. The people want to be respected in this world for some material possession, some material qualities. So the first thing is nirmana. In the Gita, the 13th chapter, Krishna explains what is knowledge and what is illusion. 20 items of knowledge. And the first item of knowledge is amanitvam, adambhitvam. Amanitvam is again nirmana. Because actually when a person realizes that everything that is there that is under my possession, including my body, is actually absolutely the property of the Lord. He is the owner, he is the creator, he is the enjoyer of this. And I have absolutely no control, no power to create, no power to enjoy. So nirmana. Now, where does this mana sense of thing come from to be respected? That's because of we are being proud of something. That I have something. Okay, everything belongs to Krishna, but something I can control. Prabhupada gave example of one time he saw a beggar in Calcutta carrying a wood which is half burnt and rejected, thrown by someone. And he was proudly carrying it. And I have something. A beggar is proud of his penny. So, and what is pride due to? Nirmana moha. Pride is due to illusion. We come for tiny fragment of time in this material world. And within that time, we try to lord it over as much as possible. And then, unceremoniously, death takes us away. And again, we are back to square one. But within that tiny period, people try their best to lord it over under illusion. So, nirmana moha, that's due to illusion. Janasya mohoyam aham mama. This body belongs to me and its extension is mine. So, jita sanga dosha. And because of this identification with body and its extension, there is sanga. Sangha. Sangha means attachment and Sangha also means association. Association based on the illusory understanding beginning with the body. Extension is family, extension in the form of community, in terms of nation, in terms of humanity or whatever, based on the body platform. So, Jita Sangha Dosha. Then, Adhyatma Nitya. Then one should actually introspect. Who is actually the controller, proprietor of everything and who is not? What actually belongs to me and what actually doesn't belong to me? That is Adhyatma Nitya. And always one should be conscious of this fact. Vinivritta Kama. Such a person can easily overcome a desire to lord it over. Kama. And then the same Kama slowly transforms into prema. But that happens, as it is explained here, by hearing submissively from a nishkinchana devotee. From a devotee who is absolutely detached from this illusion of material existence. By hearing from such a person, spontaneously that detachment will come. But the nature of desire is the conscious, is the nature of the soul. And therefore one can't become desireless for long. And therefore that desire has to be attached, to be fixed somewhere. And therefore Krishna explains in the next verse. After this he says, a beautiful place one should, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, one should be captivated by this information. One should be attached to going to that place and doing whatever is necessary to acquire that place. Natat bhasate suryo na shashanko na pavakah yad gatva na nivartante tad dhama paramam mama. So, therein Prabhupada very beautifully explains that one should be captivated by this information. But this information, one can have faith that such a thing exists only when we hear from someone who has actually experienced that place, who is in connection with that place or have realization of that place. And serving Atmanivedanam, the bhakti, process of bhakti, actually, the last part is Atmanivedan, but it begins with Shravanam Kirtanam, by hearing. So when that is done, then rest is very nicely carried out. Actually, it is, this particular point is so beautifully explained by Lord Kapila to his mother Devahuti. This is in the 3rd canto, 25th chapter. He says, in that position of self-realization, by practice of knowledge and renunciation in devotional service, one sees everything in the right perspective, seeing things as they are. That means you see the illusion for what it is, and you see the original root for what it is. He becomes indifferent to material existence, and the material influence act less powerfully upon him. This is the meaning of getting attached. The more we are attached, the more we become detached, which means the three modes of nature have less powerfully, they act less powerfully. So to the extent it is acting less powerfully, to that extent we should know that we are getting detached, that anchor is being removed, and we can proceed further to the other shore of this illusory reflection. Then he says, perfection in self-realization cannot be attained by any kind of yogi unless he engages in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for that is the only auspicious path. That's the only auspicious path. There is no other thing that is auspicious. Eventually, ultimately, if na yujyamanah, if it is not dovetailed with devotional service, no other path can be auspicious. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Kleshagni Shubhada. Of the six special aspects of devotional service. The second is Shubhada. It is all auspicious. What is auspiciousness? Auspiciousness means when an object is connected to its original source. The hair is auspicious as long as it is connected to the body. The fingernail is auspicious and you decorate it, etc., as long as it is connected to the body. The moment it is disconnected, it becomes so obnoxious. It becomes inauspicious. You touch it and take bath. But otherwise you bathe it. So, mamai vamsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. We are all parts and parcel of Krishna. So any process that connects us to Krishna permanently, eternally, to our constitutional position, is the path of auspiciousness. And that is only bhaktyamam abhijanati avan nishchasmi tattvata. So Kapil Muni is telling here that is the only auspicious path. And how to achieve that? He says, prasangam ajaram pasham atmanah kavayo viduhu sa eva sadhusha kruto mokshadaram apavratam. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But the same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, uproots or opens the door of liberation. So attachment is natural, but under this kinchit or kinchana or some kind of pride that I have possession of something, such a person actually becomes attached to this reflection. So that same attachment, if doubted, mahat sevam dwaram ahur vimukte tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, sangha means attachment and sangha also means association. And he goes into great detail as to what is that association. Sangha sanjayate kama. Whatever is the sangha association, that kind of desire we develop. So, when it is in relation with a sadhu, and who is sadhu? Sadhu reva sammantavya samyak vyavasito hi saha. In all situation, he is properly situated. And how to recognize a sadhu? That is very nicely described. How do we recognize an Ishkinchana person? How do we know who is an Ishkinchana? Not simply by an external ritual or the dress code, but he says, who is that Ishkinchana? Titikshava karunika sirda sarvadehinam ajata shatrava shantaha sadhava shadubhushana. Titikshava, the first sign of a sadhu, of Nishkinchana, if you are on the right track, you can test yourself by these qualities. Titikshava, the first sign of a sadhu is tolerant. Tam titikshasu bharata. Who understands that the nature of this world is dualities will come. So he tolerates. And how can a person tolerate? Basically, sadhu means who is always engaged in devotional service, beginning with preaching. Yesterday this question was asked to Govind Prabhu, and then after that devotee came to me, that person came to me, and he said, you please explain to me, bhakti is bigger or bhakti bada ki prachar bada? He asked me this question. I don't know, he had asked you, it seems. Yeah, really? He came and he said, bhakti bada ki prachar bada? Then I said, ungli bada ki sharir bada? The finger is big or the body is big? He got a little confused. Ungli bada, sharir bada? It's a part of the body. Why are you claiming which is big or which is small? If the finger is big or the body is big? No. Body is big and finger is a part of the body, so it includes. Then I told him, who is a bhakta? First bhakta is one who sees only Lord and me, that's all. There is no other understanding for him. But as he goes up a little, madhyam adhikari, I said, ishvaretad adhineshu balisheshu dushatsu prema maitri kripa upeksha. So a madhyam adhikari at least should go up a little. At least one should become a madhyam adhikari. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, actually if someone says, I love God, The same love which manifests for the Lord as surrender manifests with equals as friendship. The same love manifests with general population as mercy. And the same love manifests with blasphemers as scrutinizingly avoiding their association. If someone says, I only love God, but he has no discrimination between others, between the devotees of the Lord, between innocent living entities and the blasphemers, actually he doesn't love God. He's very, very neophyte. He only sees the Lord in the Archavigraha. That's all. Me and the Lord, that's all. It's very, very narrow vision. So, prema, maitri, kripa, upeksha. Yah karoti samadhyama. So, he should have love. And that love, the same love for the Lord, is manifested as friendship of the devotees. Friendship of the devotees. And the same love is manifested with innocent. That relation is manifested as mercy. And carefully avoiding the blasphemers who may actually remove that love from our heart, from the root. Therefore, we should carefully asanga. As Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Upadeshamrita, twice he says, in the six do's he says, associate, and in the six don'ts he said, carefully don't associate with these kind of people. He says, avoid and associate with devotees. Avoid the non-devotee association and take a devotee association. Just like the Padma Puran says, Smartavya Satatam Vishnur, Vismartavyona. These are the two aspects of the same injunction. So, it should manifest. So I told this person, if you are not preaching, then you are not a devotee. Then you are not a bhakta. Then he immediately said, actually it is true. You know why? I was working in a ship and the captain, I never knew what Bhagavad Gita is. The captain of the ship forcefully dragged me into his room for 4 days regularly and made me read the whole Gita. After that, I don't know what happened to me. I said, if that fellow is a real devotee. If he had not dragged you into his cabin, would you have become a bhakta? He said, yeah, yeah. At least somehow he was satisfied. So, Karuni, why is a devotee so tolerant? He doesn't mind the inconveniences because he is Karunika. He is so merciful. Only a person who wants to distribute that mercy what he has causelessly received will tolerate any inconveniences, knowing the benefit is so great. So the inconveniences are insignificant. Karunika. And why is he Karunika? Why is he so merciful? Because Sihrida Sarvadehinam. He is a well-wisher of every living entity. Only a true well-wisher can mercifully tolerate all the inconveniences. We see the life of Prabhupada. He is a person Bhagavat. The amount of tolerance that he underwent to extend himself mercifully. Why? Because Sihrida Sarvadehinam. He has no Jita Sanga Dosha. He has conquered family, country, humanity, etc. He doesn't have the Sanga Dosha. Because he is Nirmana Moha. He's overcome that. He sees all the living entities as part and parcel of Krishna. Everything is a part of Krishna and everything is within him. Is a part of him. So, Sirva Sarvadehinam, anyone who is embodied in this material world, from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, is merciful to everyone. Because he sees everyone is suffering in this illusion because of his forgetfulness. He's thinking he has something to possess. So, Jita Sanga Dosha, Titikshava Surda Sarvadehinam, and because of that, Ajata Shatrava. He has no enemies. Prahlad Maharaj explains, when do you consider a person an enemy? An enemy is one who is, when you identify with your body, anyone causes inconvenience to the body is your enemy. To the mind, someone causes inconvenience, happiness or distress. If he causes distress, he is an enemy. if he causes happiness, he is a friend. To the ego, if he is honored, anyone who honors him is a friend, anyone who dishonors him is his enemy. But for a devotee of the Lord, he sees every situation, every person, as tattena kompam sushamikshamanu. He says, everyone is specifically sent by the Lord to purify me in some way. And therefore, he receives it at the mercy of the Lord. He doesn't see anyone. See, in the life of Prahlad Maharaj, that's why he could speak this. Mahiyasam palarajo vishkinchananam na vinita yavat. Because he had taken from such a soul, great soul as Narada Muni, the dust of his feet, even before he was born. He took the dust. Because he had heard humbly, eagerly and sincerely. And therefore he sincerely practiced even after getting out of the womb. So, ajata shatrava. And therefore such a person, because he has no enemies, he is very peaceful. Shanta. Krishna bhakta nishkama ata eva shanta. Therefore he is peaceful. And ajata shatrava shantaha sadhavaha. He is a sadhu. And such a person is to be associated with. Sadhava sadhu bhushana. And because he is Krishnaized, all the wonderful qualities of Krishna very soon manifests in such a personality. And then he says, engaged constantly in chanting and hearing about me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sadhus do not suffer from material miseries because they are always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. Daivim prakriti mashrita. Thus Mahatmas, they are so absorbed in devotional service that to them, they are actually transcended the three modes. In other words, the inconvenience of the three modes does not stop their service under any circumstances. Ta'ete sadhava sarbhi. He says, O my mother, O virtuous lady, these are the qualities of great devotees who are free from all attachment. They are nishkinchana. You must seek attachment to such holy men, for this counteracts the pernicious effects of material attachment. So this is the process. Actually, that is the only way. That is why Krishna says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, sadhu sanga sarva shastra kohe, lava matra sadhu sanga. Even a moment's association with such personalities can potentially has the power to give the ultimate perfection. Because they carry the full attachment of the Lord within their heart. And therefore, that association is infectious. Even a moment's proper association can infect Bhakti Lata Beej into our heart. Then he says, what to do in that association? Satam prasanga mama virya samvido bhavanti hritkarana rasayana katha tad joshanad ashu apavargavartmani shraddha rati bhakti anukramishyati. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed from his attraction, becomes fixed, then real devotion and devotional service begins. So rati or attachment automatically comes by remaining in that association. Of course, a moment's association in and of itself is enough. But what do we do with that association determines whether we continue to associate or not. Rahugana heard only once. And after that, Jadabharat left. But he never gave up that association. Because he took it to his heart, those instructions. And he was actually meditating on that instruction. That is the actual association. And in that association, actually, by executing it sincerely, the process began. Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishtha, Ruchi. That ruchi comes by serving those devotees. Not actual association means serving those devotees. That's why he says, Shushusho Shaddhadhanasya Vasudeva Katha Ruchi Shyan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirtha Nishevanat. That ruchi comes when we serve those who have that ruchi. Shushrusho Shaddhadhanasya. This word Shushrusho, Prabhupada explains several places, is very important. Shushrusho means active service, active listening. That means after listening you act. Otherwise it is passive listening. Active listening means with a sincere desire to act upon that listening instruction, information. So, thus, consciously engaged in devotional service in the association of devotees, a person gains distaste for sense gratification, both in this world and in the next. That means, top of that reflection, the origin of the root, to the twigs and the last tips of the branches of this illusory tree. Both in this world and in that. By constantly thinking about the activities of the Lord. This process of Krishna consciousness is the easiest process of mystic power. When one is actually situated on the path of devotional service, he is able to control the mind. Therefore, Krishna says, Manmana bhavamat bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Prabhupada writes, what is difficult? Only four. Manmana bhavamat bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Manmana, your mind is engaged in thinking of Krishna. Mad bhakto, your senses are engaged. Because bhakti means rishikena rishikesha sevanam. Like Ambarish Maharaj. So by mana Krishna padaravindayo, and then rest of the body he engages. So manmana, use your mind in thinking of Krishna always. Mad bhakto, use your senses in serving Krishna always. Mad yaji, use your paraphernalia, whatever you have, patram pushpam, in offering it to the Lord. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, manasa deha geha. Jogichumor arpilu tuapade nanda kishor. So manasa, manmana, deha, madhbhakto, geha, my home, paraphernalia, madhyaji, I offer it at your lotus feet in worship. And mam namaskuru, arpilu tuapade nanda kishor. Complete surrender. So our mind, body, and everything that we have, by Krishna's mercy, if it is in a humble understanding, complete understanding of the truth, is actually offered to whom it actually belongs, then it says, thus by not engaging in the service of the modes of material nature, this is concluding verse of Lord Kapila to Devahuti, he says, thus by not engaging in the service of the modes of material nature, but by developing Krishna consciousness, knowledge in renunciation, and by practicing yoga, in which the mind is always fixed in devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one achieves my association in this very life, for I am the Supreme Personality, the Absolute Truth. In this very life, it is possible. That is why in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Narad Muni told Vyasadev his own example, that how in one lifetime I achieved perfection. Because I was born a maid servant's son. Narada Muni's personal example. He was the son of a maid servant, a Shudrani, the lowest. Practically, he had no qualification. And he served the Bhakti Vedantas during this time, Chaturmas, for a. Heard from them sincerely. The fact is, after they left, he put it into practice. He heard it submissively and with their permission took once, even once is enough actually, in proper consciousness, the remnants of their foodstuff. And as soon as they left, the only little attachment was his mother. And when Krishna took away that, he saw it as Krishna's mercy. This is a proof that he was actually an exalted personality. He had really received the mercy. Because he saw even the greatest catastrophe, the only shelter, when that left, as a mercy of the Lord. He thanked the Lord. He said, now I am actually free to travel. And he traveled all over. Kheta kharvata vartimcha vanani upavananicha. He traveled through practically the whole earth, but never getting entangled anywhere. Janapadan, Svitan Janapadan, flourishing metropolises, Prabhupada translates it. And then garden, mineral fields, coal mines, this gold mine. He never got it, he just traveled and then sat down and got a little sample. Then Krishna said, that's all, not in this life. I've given you a sample, but for the main product you have to come to the showroom, not this godown of this material existence. A sample is given, this whole life you have to dedicate and show to me that you are actually steady. And then at the end actually, in the very lifetime, in that next line, he says, just like Saudamani, just like a lightning bolt striking and a lightning coming and the light manifesting. Quickly, the material body left and he got a spiritual body of Narada Muni. Like that, flash of a second. Actually, there was no difference because he was a self-liberated soul even then. Ihayasya Harir Dasya, he was engaging his body mind in serving the Lord. Now he had a spiritual body. He could travel anywhere. Ultimate freedom. So in this way, by taking the dust of the lotus feet, now Vidura, there is tears of ecstasy flowing down. This is the proof that he has heard with proper consciousness. In the third chapter of second canto, it says, Tadashmasaram hrayam batedam. Only a steel-framed heart does not, the tears do not flow down when the name of the Lord or his thing touches the heart. That means it is not touching the heart. The heart is covered over. Therefore, it's not touching. And since it's not touching, no tears are coming. It's covered over. Avritam jnanam etena kamarupena. It's covered over. And therefore, it doesn't touch. But when heard properly and put by putting those instructions, then they become realizations. And when a person is realized, then he can be fixed. Till it is intellectual, it's okay. But till it doesn't sink to the heart, till then it is very difficult to live on that platform for a longer time. So in this way, Vidura, of course he was a great Mahatma. He's a Mahajan. We know that. He was none other than one of the Mahajans, Yamaraj, on leave, on vacation. Still he is showing by personally, Mahajano yena gatasya pantha. He took a humble position, heard from Maitreya Muni. And at the end of it, he has tears of ecstasy flowing down. So in this way, we have recent example of Prabhupada, who heard submissively from his guru and took it to his heart. Just one or two instructions, one or two meetings. And that's a shining torchlight for us to actually dedicate ourselves. Hare Krishna. We began at 8:32. I'm exactly finishing at 9:32. Any question, comments? Yeah. Can you pass the mic? We'll take two questions. Yes.
Just wanted to ask, can you say something more about what this moment, what is a moment? How long is a moment? When you say you get association from a pure devotee, just one moment, how long is that moment? And also just...
What is? One moment. Okay.
And also just, can you just say something about what should be one's consciousness?
For details, it's there. How much is a moment in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Lava, I think, is 1/12 of a second or something. The point is, one time there was all the devotees were taking bath in the Ganges. And then somebody asked, there was a sannyasi sitting there, says, there were so many, what do you say, भैंस को क्या बोलते, बफलोज वर ऑल्सो टेकिंग बाथ, बफलोज वर ऑल्सो एंड दिस फेलो वॉज गिविंग बाथ टू दोज बफलोज, सो ही वॉज आस्क स्वामी जी इज टेकिंग बाथ, तो बफलो इज ऑल्सो टेकिंग बाथ, देर इज सम प्यूरिफिकेशन. गंगारा परश होइले पाश्चात्य पावन, दर्शने पवित्र करो ही तुम्हार गुण, नो बाय कॉन्स्टेंटली बेदिंग, बट इट्स ए क्वेश्चन ऑफ कॉन्शियसनेस. एज यू राइटली पॉइंटेड आउट, इट्स नॉट सिंपली एन एसोसिएशन. सो मेनी पीपल गॉट प्रभुपाद एसोसिएशन, बट दोज हूज कॉन्शियसनेस वॉज प्रिपेयर्ड, हु आर एक्चुअली डेस्परेट, हु आर रियली सर्चिंग, हु रियली वर इज जस्ट लाइक ए पर्सन हु इज लुकिंग, हु इज द मोर वन इज थर्स्टी, the more one can appreciate water. If you are not hungry, you can't appreciate the food. So one whose heart is thirsting after the absolute truth, and what is the proof of that thirst? A thirsty person will pay any price to get that water, will not leave any stones unturned in an effort to get to that water. That shows his desperateness. So if a person is really desperate, because by the mercy of Krishna one gets Guru, by the mercy of Guru one gets Krishna. So a moment's association means, sometimes it may not even mean talking. It may just one glance, or a merciful glance, reverse side actually. Our glance is useless. Their glance, they just glanced upon us and they were happy. That's it. So how much time does it take to just glance at someone? Or someone just mercifully glances, like Haridas Thakur did to those prisoners. Just once. That's enough. That's a moment. And what is the consciousness? Haridas Thakur told them, this is the consciousness. They were shocked because they were desperate to want to get out of the prison house. And they said, may you remain in this consciousness always. May you remain wherever you are always. And they were actually disappointed. But then Haridas Thakur explained. He saw disappointment in their face. He said, no, no, I didn't mean that. I said, the consciousness with which you are right now looking at me, thinking that I am going to liberate you from this prison house, is the same consciousness, because you think that the sadhu has come to give blessings by which you will be out of this place. Try to understand, this is the real situation. I am praying that you remain in this consciousness. You are desperately wanting to take shelter of someone who can take you out of this prison, imprisonment of entanglement. So he says, may you always remain in this consciousness. So that is the consciousness. Then, even a moment's association. Moment means, actually less than a moment is also enough. That is just to show how kimuta nyaya. Kimuta means, if this can give you water to speak of that. So like that. That's my understanding. This is a little speculation. Bhagavat says, lava matra. Lava means 1/12 of a second. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Hare Bhav. I was wanting to know about the attachment to the devotional service that one's engaged in, is that how to tell the difference between attachment to pride of my own ability to do something and attachment to the high quality of the service that I'm trying to engage in. Should I be attached? What is healthy attachment to see that the service is going on properly, that's being done nicely?
Yeah. One time in Kumbh Mela, in 96, when we went to Kumbh Mela, one devotee asked, is a very good bugle player, you know who it is, our Ekalavya Prabhu. He asked the sannyasi who was speaking, he said, Maharaj, sometimes we become proud that I have done such a wonderful service. So, what do I do about it? And I've actually done it. I see I've done it. People are appreciating. And I know. Sometimes somebody may say, you may say, I am an instrument, but still you are happy that I am the instrument. Krishna, of all the people here, chose me as the instrument. So even then there is sense of pride. So the reply to him was, he said, suppose you chanted your rounds very nicely, 16 rounds, and you may feel, my God, I chanted so attentively, so I should become a little humble, otherwise I'll become proud. So from tomorrow I'll chant 15 and a half rounds, so that I won't become... No! This has been told, we do to the best of our ability. And what to speak, and what if we actually, Krishna uses as an instrument? He said, simply be grateful that Krishna has used you. You have no ability, but somehow, you know, sometimes you're traveling, so many beggars come, but suddenly we decide, this beggar will give. The other fellow comes and says, usko diya, just now you gave it to that fellow. That's a choice. This is Krishna's choice, that suddenly he decided, chalo, let me use this fellow. Be grateful that somehow at the right place at the right time, I happened to be there and I became an instrument. Because the moment you think something you did, that's it. Krishna will say, punar mushika bhava. Become a mouse again to realize that you can't roar. Now you may be roaring, but in one moment you may become a mouse and squeak around. No influence, no power. Yadyad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urjitam evama tattadivavagachatvam mama tejomsha sambhavam. Arjun told in that, he says, it is the same chariot, it is the same Gandiva, it is the same me, it is the same horses, everything is same. But there is something not here. And therefore today, I am not able to shoot that arrows, I am not able to protect Krishna's wife, nothing happened. But he was going into ecstasy, thinking of that. There were tears in his eyes of great, and in the next verse he says, now I am remembering those instructions of the Lord, which he delivered in the Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna was happy to be an instrument during the battle of Kurukshetra, and it was taken away. He says, all right, my Lord, no problem. Nimitta mantra bhava sarve sachi. I have already killed them. In the Virat Purush, 11th chapter, he showed. Bhishma, Drona, Jayadratham, everyone is over. The end result was already declared, even before the battle was started. But you become an instrument. So he was grateful to be used as an instrument during that time, and therefore he was happy. He never said, now you are not using me as an instrument. He was happy, at least I was used for some time. He saw me fit to serve him in some way. That's my fortune. So that should be our consciousness. Then Krishna uses, tomorrow you are a hero, day after tomorrow you are zero. Today you are a zero, by mercy of Prabhupada you can be a hero. Thank you, my Lord. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Thai Guru Premandi.